Good afternoon and welcome. It's midday and it's a very special day, our annual Midday at the Movies Oscar edition, where as a public service, we tell you who's going to win in all categories on Sunday night so that you can stay with your bowling league and not watch the broadcast. Anne Hornaday is the film critic for The Washington Post and the author of a fantastic book called Talking Pictures, How to Watch Movies. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom.
Jed Dietz is the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival. Good to see you as well.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So I'll begin by predicting that Margot Robbie will not be named Best Actress in a leading role, and that Greta Gerwig will not be awarded the Best Director Award. And I know this because they're not nominated. They've been snubbed. They've been snubbed by the Academy. And I've tried to care about that, and I haven't been able to. So flag on the plate. So let's start with the snub. It's not so much as a snub.
No, here. I mean, I think the snub discourse is a little overblown, frankly, and I think it sort of misunderstands the voting process, which is easy to misunderstand because the Academy is kind of opaque in terms of its processes, but. But I don't, you know, I think there was this narrative that emerged, which is they took this from her, you know, or they didn't want to reward her. And I really don't think it was nearly as malicious as that. I just think
save the movies?
She
Barbenheimer did. Barbenheimer
brought that's not
movies
what they're voting
back
on.
From.
Well, but the when you're, so the nominee, this is going to take way too long. Everybody just sit down, grab a drink.
Keep calm and carry
on. Yes. But the nominations are done by the branches. So the director's nominations were voted on just by directors. And here's what I think. When you look at this list, and this isn't surprising, that they're going to really favor technical prowess, bigness, bravura, drama over a bubblegum, pink, girly comedy, which even though it was really well executed. I wouldn't say perfectly, by the way, either. I don't think it was perfectly directed. It was fun and great and good for her, but
and sort of a miracle, really, that they got
absolutely.
The movie made.
It's
right?
Not taking anything away from her, but I just don't think that it's that uncommon for them not to reward directing a comedy. And I mean, I think if you look at something like The Holdovers, which was nominated in so many categories. And Alexander Payne's fingerprints are on every single frame of that movie, you know.
And that was also not nominated as Best Director, right.
Exactly. Or okay. I would make the same case for Cord Jeffords. So I really didn't see it as a snub. I just think that's kind of the way these guys vote, you know, right. Which is usually, like I said, about these big technical.
And to give Margot credit, I mean, it's such a professional thing. She's showing up at these award things. Dressed as one of the Barbies, you know, she'll be, I mean, in some fashion, you know, and she's having fun with this. And of course, it looks fantastic because she's Margot Robbie. But I think she's sort of saying, calm down too, you know, we're okay. I'll make another movie.
Yeah. And it's also not impossible to imagine having fun when you've made that much money on a movie. I mean, I think there's a lot of fun is to be had with the kind of profits
sure.
that everybody
and,
made on that. So
pride.
Good for them.
And yeah. pride. And she
and
is
pride,
not.
Absolutely.
And Margot, and both of them are nominated. You know, like Margot Robbie was nominated for as a producer of Barbie. So
mm-hmm. yeah,
that's a big deal. Anyway.
All right. Yeah. Anne Hornaday and Jed Dietz know a lot about movies. I know nothing about movies, but I bet listeners, you know a whole bunch. So who are you voting for? 410-662-8780 or email midday@wipr.org. Let us know who your faves are for Oscar night, 7 o'clock. From Los Angeles, live on ABC television. You remember television, right? It was a thing that happened before streaming.
What? Yeah, but an hour early. That was good to remind people. It
yeah.
starts an hour early.
And
yeah.
it's daylight savings time to boot, so we're
yeah.
all going to be
so
messed up.
So you're going to miss an hour of sleep the night before. You're going to start at 7 o'clock. It'll be 4 o'clock in the afternoon in L.A., but it means the post-Oscar parties can start all that early, all that
exactly.
much earlier. So
you're
that's great. So let's
early.
Talk about the Best Picture. You did a wonderful profile, Anne, in the Washington Post about Jeffrey Wright, who's made a huge impression for American fiction. We have a little clip from American Fiction. Let's listen to this.
How did you come to write this book?
What really struck me was that too few books were about my people. Where are our stories? Where's our representation?
Would you give us the pleasure of reading an excerpt?
Yo, Sharonda, girl, you be pregnant again? If I is, Ray Ray is gonna be a real father this time around.
Your books are good, but they're not popular. Editors, they want a black book.
They have a black book. I'm black, and it's my book.
You know what I mean.
Look at what they published. Look at what they expect us to write. I just want to rub their noses in it.
They have a black book. I'm black and it's my book. Now, Jed, the Academy has actually itself been under great criticism in recent years. You know, Oscar's so
justly
white,
so,
right. You know, for a lack of diversity. But, I mean, is the needle moving in that regard and in the Academy overall?
And I think you see it in this nomination list, too. The Academy absolutely owned it. And they said, we have not been diverse. Women and people of color are going to be two goals. The only way we can do this fairly quickly is to increase the membership every year, which they exploded the membership for several years running. And look at the list. It's made it, you know, it really has worked. And I think it's also brought in filmmakers.
The list meaning there are more artists of color being recognized for their work?
Yeah, this list of nominations that we mm-hmm. were talking about. I mean, I think it's a wildly diverse compared to 5 years ago list. And it's really working. And people are going to these movies. People are engaged to evaluate them. And American Fiction is an example. This is a first-time filmmaker, Cord Jefferson, writer-director. And he's on this because I think the Academy, I mean, I don't mean direct line, but the Academy set out to get more diverse and recognized that they were really too male, too white.
Yeah.
And it's worked.
Yeah. And you've also observed that there are a number of first-time directors mm-hmm. whose movies have been nominated multiple times. This is a big year for rookies.
It's wonderful,
isn't it?
Yeah. Cord Jefferson, very deserving. Celine Song, whose movie Past Lives, also a very wonderful movie. Also one that really connected with audiences. And I think that's the nifty thing about this year is that it's so strong in terms of the quality, but also these are audience movies, you know. It wasn't too long ago when... You know, during award season, our choices were a guy cutting off his fingers and throwing him at his friend's door or a guy eating himself to death. I mean, you know, I know those movies had their admirers.
Luckily, I slept through those years. I have no idea what movies you're talking about.
It was not an audience-friendly situation, but these are all, and they're in various ways, big blockbuster ways and also small human drama ways. But they're all, they're all really reaching for an audience. And I just think it's terrific.
Yeah, American Fiction, Past Lives, May to December.
Yes, written by Sammy Birch. Yes, Sammy
Birch. The Holdovers.
Yes, first-time screenwriter David Hemmingson. And Sammy, fun fact about the May-December screenwriter, Sammy Birch, she actually came up through as a casting director, which I think it's always so interesting to see people making work and lives in the film business not necessarily through conventional means, and like an Ava DuVernay being a publicist,
right.
You know, and then coming into her own that way. And Sammy Birch started in casting. Also, by the way, the writer of Coyote versus Acme, the notorious movie that Warner Brothers has shelved, causing a lot of outrage in the industry, which is a bummer because I think she would have done a really interesting... I would have liked to have seen that movie.
Let's listen to a little clip from Holdovers. This is the Paul Giamatti movie where he plays a professor at a prep school who's stuck on campus with a few kids that he's got to sort of babysit over a vacation.
I can tell by your faces that many of you are shocked at the outcome. I, on the other hand, am not, because I have had the misfortune of teaching you this semester. And even with my ocular limitations, I witness firsthand your glazed, uncomprehending expressions.
Sir, I don't understand.
That's glaringly apparent.
No, it's... I can't fail this class.
Oh, don't sell yourself short, Mr. Coates. I truly believe that you can.
I'm supposed to go to Cornell.
Unlikely.
Unlikely. So now, Paul Giamatti, he is nominated as Best Actor in a leading role. Think he has a chance in that category, which is a really rough category. Boy, the actor and actresses character category. Oh, my
Lord. Those are the nail biters this year, really.
Because in the best actor, we have Bradley Cooper, Colman Domingo, and Rustin. He was unbelievable.
Amazing.
That was fantastic. Beautiful. Paul Giamatti, Cillian Murphy,
Cillian
Murphy, in Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. Boy,
great.
Every one of those is deserving.
Indeed. And I think that, you know, sort of coming into the season, it was widely believed that this was Giamatti's year, but Cillian Murphy has really come up, you know, in these awards shows like the Golden Globes and
BAFTA.
So, and it does look like this Oppenheimer sweep might be in the offing. So, but I don't know about you, Jed, but I think it's between the two of them. I don't know that it's a lock yet.
So the Oppenheimer sweep would be actor in a or second
supporting
best
actor.
Supporting actor, actress, all that kind of stuff.
Well, not actress
or,
necessarily.
Not actress,
but
the best,
director
but certainly
and best picture.
Their best picture and director. I don't know, Jed, what do you think? Are we going to have an Oppenheimer sweep Sunday night?
We could. I mean, I agree with, I don't think it's locked. I totally agree with what Ann said. And I think Giamatti is a contender against Cillian Murphy. And I think it's one of the best. Paul Giamatti's had a wonderful career. He's a terrific actor. But I think it's one of the best things he's done. I went back and looked at Sideways, the first film he made with Alexander Payne, of which really only one actor emerged from that film, and it was Paul Giamatti. Yeah. The others are all, they're really good in it. But
I loved his portrayal of John Adams. Remember that?
Yes.
People have always talked about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was just really good.
But some people think
you got to pick one.
You got to pick one?
Who's going to be the best actor?
So this is
winner.
Prediction, not what
this
I want, right?
You can do both.
Oh.
We'll start with prediction.
Oh. Prediction. I'm going to go on a limb and say Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti, you will predict. That's who do you think should win it? Because it's close.
This is really hard.
It's close.
I mean, I am such a Jeffrey Wright fanatic, and I'm so thrilled that he's getting this moment. So I'm going to go with Jeffrey Wright.
All right. Jed?
I would start by going with Jeffrey Wright should win, because I think he anchors the whole movie. And I think it's a phenomenally crafted movie. I mean, but I think Cillian Murphy will win.
All right. So Peter says, Oppenheimer, please. Oh. Like a movie adaptation of a graphic novel. The longest trailer ever made. Peter, not an Oppenheimer fan. The gold standard bio of J.R.O. was Sam Waterston, American Playhouse version, albeit made for TV. So Barbie, Peter says, enjoyable, better direction, and more deserving to be shown on IMAX than Oppenheimer.
Wow,
you
Peter.
You want Barbie on IMAX.
Okay.
And that leaves Maestro. So there's my vote.
Oh, well,
so
good.
So Peter voting
That's
for
good
Best
reasoning
Picture,
too.
Maestro, which
good.
Is, in fact,
nice.
Nominated. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 this year. Couple of them are smaller. The Zone of Interest is in there. Not everybody has seen that one. It's a little
terrific
more
movie, though.
Terrific
amazing.
Movie. Yep. So let's go with our Best Picture should be and will be American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, the Martin Scorsese movie, Maestro, Bradley Cooper playing Leonard Bernstein, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things in the Zone of Interest. So, Jed, that's a very, very competitive crowd this year.
It's very competitive. I would have to go with Oppenheimer. Will win just because of what Ann said. I mean, I think you're seeing it come through the SAG Awards and BAFTA and the Golden Globes.
Producers Guild.
Producers Guild, exactly. Yeah. I think American Fiction is entertaining, and I think beautifully crafted movie, but I think it's also a really important movie. It's launching something in our culture that I think we're going to remember, and so I guess I would tend toward that because it has that sort of
so and Oppenheimer impact. Probably but
most
who should be, or is it the same?
Well, you know, American Fiction was my number one movie of last year for all the reasons that Jed just enumerated. But I see Best Picture as something a little bit different. And I'm going to go with Oppenheimer for both, like that I would like to see it win, and it probably will win. But I just think it's it was that kind of cultural event with Barbie. And actually, Barbie did it even more in terms of getting audiences into theaters creating excitement around movies, reminding us that movies can still be a collective experience and a galvanizing one. And I just, well, actually, I'm talking myself into that. I think it should be Barbie, because Barbie, you know, it's not just about the artistic achievement. It's about movies and their place in our lives, and also, frankly, the industry, and about raising all the boats. And I just think, I wouldn't be disappointed if both of them tied, you know, because they did that.
Who nominates Best Picture? You say, you know, each of
that's nominated by the whole.
So the whole group, yeah. So that's a hard thing.
And it can go from 5 to 10.
Right, right. There's a varying number. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will have more of Midday at the Movies with Anne Hornaday, the film critic for the Washington Post and the author of Talking Pictures, How to Watch Movies, and Jed Dietz, the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival. 410-662-8780, so you can weigh in on who you'd like to see win Sunday night, 7 o'clock on ABC. The email address here, midday@wipr.org. If you got one of those computers, all the young people do. You should really get one if you don't have one. You're welcome to drop us a line, and we will put you on the air. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
I'm Al Waller.
I'm Catherine Collinson.
And I'm Mihaela Vince.
In upcoming episodes of Clear Path, Your Roadmap for Life, we'll discuss ways to catch up on retirement savings and the importance of self-care. Tune in to WIPR's website and mobile app, all major podcast platforms, and transamericainstitute.org.
This is Baltimore's NPR News Station, 88.1 WIPR.
And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow on the show, our series of conversations with the candidates continues with Prince George's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks, who's running in the Democratic primary to succeed Ben Cardin in the United States Senate. So Angela Alsobrooks will make the case for her candidacy tomorrow on Midday. And coming up next Tuesday, Governor Wes Moore will join me for another Midday Town Hall with the governor. We have a new listener line where you can call and leave a question for the governor. That number, 410-735-1616. Again, 410-735-1616. If you have a question that you'd like to pose to Governor Moore, go ahead and leave it on our listener line, and we will see if we can work it into the act Tuesday here on the Midday Town Hall with Governor Moore. And if you've just joined us today, it's Midday at the Movies with our good buddies Jed Dietz and Anne Hornaday. You are welcome to join us on a different number, 410-662-8780. We'd like to know who you think should win and will win in the various categories of the Academy Awards Sunday night. Our email, midday@wipr.org. And we are now at the Actress in a Leading Role category. Again, just as competitive as you can ever remember. Annette Bening, who's done a terrific job in NIAID, so I hear. Lily Gladstone in this epic movie by Martin Scorsese, Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall. Carrie Mulligan, who plays Felicia Bernstein in Maestro. And Emma Stone, who does a bang-up job, by all reports, in Poor Things. I mean, boy, I'm glad I'm not a famous actress this year. And there's many people who share that gladness. I mean,
but both of us actually share that.
Exactly. Because it's rough being a famous actress this year. And some of these are not famous. I mean, Lily Gladstone, you know, this is a sort of a breakout thing for her. You know, Sandra Hüller.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
Certainly to American audiences, not somebody well known. So, Anne, how does one decide how to vote on this one?
Well, this is another really tight race, and I think it's coming down to Lily Gladstone or Emma Stone. And a lot of people believe that, you know, if Lily Gladstone wins, it will make history as the first Native American actress to win an Oscar, which is a very big deal. And I think the Academy likes that, you know, and the members like that. It's an interesting choice because her performance in that movie is not the stuff of Best Actress nods. You know, it's because of her
She spends a fair amount of time dying.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very passive, you know. And if you look at these, I've been kind of, you know, looking back, and most of these parts have Stemwinder speeches attached. You know, it's like they've, you know, Carey Mulligan gives two brilliant, brilliant speeches in Maestro that are just electrifying. Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall, one of the great movie speeches of all time in terms of this, the tensions in this marriage that's at the center of that. You know, and then you have Emma Stone, who doesn't necessarily give speeches, but just delivers one of the most fearless physical performances I can remember seeing. So these were all really big. And Diane, you know, Annette Bening going all in to play this competitive swimmer and undergoing just punishing physical transformations to do it in a very unvanity role, by the way. And so next to all of those, Lily Gladstone's is this very quiet, very interior, almost passive performance, which I just think is an interesting juxtaposition.
So and it's because in politics, they would say, oh, this is a clear choice because they're very different. You know, I mean, these performances are different for different reasons, you know, and in politics, they have Trump and Biden. It's a clear choice, whether, in fact, it very much is a very clear choice. I mean, you know what you're getting with both of those choices. But it's interesting that it gets complicated that they're so different.
That's right. Because then it gets into like metrics, what is acting? What is screen acting? You know, because I think so much of the power of Gladstone's performance is in the stillness and it is in the interiority. You know, and that is very distinctively a screen thing that you can't do that on a theatrical stage. You know, it's very much about your relationship with the camera and the space. So, yeah, I think you make a very good point.
Well, and I would add one more thing. Sandra Hüller also has a lead role in The Zone of Interest, a smaller movie, completely different character. Mm-hmm. And that should not in any direct way play into that vote. But I don't see how you could see both of these roles that she does brilliantly and not be lifted about her art form.
That's a really good point. She had an amazing year.
All right, so let me put you on a spot. And by the way, the stakes here couldn't be lower. Because, you know,
why am I so nervous?
By 1:15 this afternoon, everyone's going to forget who everybody predicted. Don't worry about it. You know. So Jed should win Best Actress, will win Best Actress.
I would say Sandra Hüller should win, just pure, I mean, and I'm also adding in what I just said I shouldn't add in, which was both of these roles to some degree. But I think Lily Gladstone will win. Mm-hmm. And I think everything Ann said is absolutely right. It's sort of a non-Oscar kind of vote, but she's come through a lot of awards winning. I think people do get, which I sort of love that the Academy gets, this quietness part of her skill. Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Yeah. And your turn.
Right. I think at this point I would go with Lily as the will win. I think Emma Stone, that performance, like I said, it was so fearless. It was just
absolutely true.
And it just lifted a movie that really was teetering on the edge of just being way too self-conscious and too pleased with itself.
Also true.
I was constantly fighting my own feelings about it, and she made it work. And so, I'd have to hand it to her this year.
So Becca sends us an email and says, my favorite movie of 2023 was All of Us Strangers.
Oh, beautiful.
So why do you think it was ignored by Oscar voters?
You know, that's an interesting, it might have been, I think when it comes to the nominations, it really comes down to how many people have seen your movie. Mm-hmm. And I happened to be in
the big full page ads in the New York Times for your consideration, et cetera.
So I was in I spent the whole month of January in Los Angeles, sort of tangentially on the border of the Oscar campaign season, and sometimes participating. I did a Q&A with Josh Singer for Maestro. But let me just tell you, it is wall-to-wall screenings, events, lunches, teas, cocktails, Q&As, panels. I mean, festivals, the Palm Springs Festival. You know, it's just they are scrambling so hard to get their movies just seen by the voters. And I feel that something like All of Us Strangers, I also think the same thing happened to Origin, the Ava DuVernay movie, which I believe deserves to be in these conversations right now. It costs so much money to put these things on and, you know, you get these movies in front of these viewers. So I suspect that All of Us Strangers might have fallen victim to that. You know, just a resource question.
Margaret from Baltimore says, Barbie, in all caps and exclamation points. Greta Gerwig was dissed by the nominators. The movie was a triumph, galvanized viewers to the theaters, and will do so much more, or did so much more than anybody expected. And Kyle says, my partner and I have watched 8 of the 10 Best Picture nominees and plan to watch the 2 remaining movies before Sunday. Good for you. Danielle Brooks was so transcendent as Sophia in The Color Purple. It's tough because Davin Joy Randolph and her other nominees were incredible. So Danielle Brooks nominated for actress in a supporting role for The Color Purple. And Kyle says, I just have to say I'm rooting for Danielle. Mm. The humanity she endowed the character with and her ability to so deeply inhabit both profound loss and profound joy was mind-blowing.
It was an amazing performance. Yeah. She was just... I totally see Kyle's point. I mean, she really made that whole movie for me. And Fantasia was fantastic, too. I mean, those were 2 really great performances. But, I mean, so many were. But no, but it is going to be Davine. You know, it's going to be Davine Joy. That is definitely a lock at this point. And I think rightfully so, because, you know, you're talking about a role that could have so easily gone wrong in terms of the black woman chef at this almost all white boys school playing alongside a white professor and a white student. And the setup is so fraught with patronizing stereotypes, you know, the kinds of things that Monk is fighting against in American Fiction, you know. And I think it was a combination of the writing and the direction, but her performance transcended all of those traps.
Yeah, she was great.
And it
was
just
a
movie.
It
was
in
the holdovers. It was a movie of just exquisite moments on her part.
Yeah, all right. A quick prediction from you, Jed, and for Best Actress in a Supporting Role. Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks, The Color Purple, American Ferrara in Barbie, Jodie Foster in Naiad, and Davine. Davine, is that how you say
it? Yes, it's Davine.
Davine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers.
Well, I'll do a quick shout out also to Jodie Foster, who is
fabulous.
Just a wonderful actor. But I think Davine is for sure going to win that. I think she's won
everything. Yeah, she has been. She's one of the few that have won every single one.
And she's great.
Let's listen to a little clip of Killers of the Flower Moon. This is the Martin Scorsese movie that is one of the Best Picture nominees. It's a 3.5-hour, 3-hour thing. I mean, Oppenheimer was 3.5. Killers of the Flower Moon, 3 hours. I mean, I guess they don't hire editors anymore.
You know, you got nice color skin. What color would you say that is?
My color.
The Osage, they have the worst land possible. But they outsmarted everybody.
The land had oil on it.
Black gold. Money flows freely here now.
I do love that money, sir.
I do love that money, sir. Yeah, plenty of people do. So, the Best Director for 2024, the Oscar goes to, it'll be one of the following: Anatomy of a Fall, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. Let's listen to a little clip of Poor Things. This is the Emma Stone movie we were just talking about.
These two are fighting, and ideas are banging around in Bella's head and heart like lights in a storm.
Oh. You're always reading now, Bella. You're losing some of your adorable way of speaking.
I'm a changeable feast, as are all of we. Apparently, according to Emerson, disagreed with by Harry.
Come, come, just come.
You were in my son.
What?
You're in my son. Never has there been a pushback as good as that one.
Sick burn.
So, That's it. You know, again, it's just it's a really crowded category with really great people. Jed, I'll have you go first this time. Should win, will win, Best Directing.
I'll start with should win. And I think Zone of Interest should win. Just pure, it was sort of unbelievable to think this was conceived of and that he pulled it off the way he did. And he really learned something about a subject that's been filmed over and over and over and over again. in a very revealing way, I think. But I think what will win is Oppenheimer. Okay. And I think, Chris, I mean, hard to argue with that because I think it's beautifully directed, mm-hmm. unlike our emailer.
All right, so Anne, not to prejudice you in your view in any way, shape, or form, but Poor Things, the choice, number one choice for best directing by our director and engineer, the legendary Luke Spicknell.
Sitting
in on the board today for Shania Mapson.
I think that's great.
Luke's going with Poor Things.
Good for you, Luke.
You have a chance to go with Poor Things, agree with Luke, or disagree with Luke.
At your peril. Now, you know, you say the stakes are so low, but then, then you hit me with this.
Right.
No, I'm actually going to agree completely with Jed on both. I think The Zone of Interest was just... In terms of a piece of film direction, you know, an example of the craft of directing, it's everything. And it's really interesting that Jonathan Glazer, the director in question, was adapting a novel and really did his own thing. I mean, he did, like you said, he did his own research and he created something completely distinct from the source material, really, by way of image and sound and thoughtfulness. And I just think it's absolutely brilliant. But yes, I do think Christopher Nolan's going to win.
All right. Let's talk about adapted screenplays.
Okay.
Speaking of adapted screenplays, Oppenheimer is nominated. American Fiction also nominated. Barbie, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. So a very similar field to best directing is also the adapted screenplay. So an adapted screenplay is one that, you know, takes as its premise a book or some other pre-existing work. An original screenplay is a whole other deal. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, again, really good. Because I thought the script of Barbie was actually the best part of the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked, you know, if you like pink, maybe you don't think that mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, if I were given the assignment, you know, write a movie about a doll, I would just roll up in a fetal position under the table.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you even start with that, you know? Which is why I think Billie Eilish, who was given the assignment of writing
yes.
a song, did really, really well. Two songs are nominated from Barbie for
yeah.
best song from a movie. The adapted screenplay category is a special skill to take a pre-existing
Absolutely.
Work and make it into a movie. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. And I think I could see Greta Gerwig winning that, you know, because she was quote-unquote snubbed in directing, like this would be considered maybe some kind of a consolation prize. And to your point, I think people respect the swing. You know, it's like you did it, you nailed it, and you stuck the landing, and you infused it with a lot of really smart, feminist polemic that didn't, you know, I think it was literally speechy because speaking of speeches, America Ferrera had this, you know, great sort of anti-patriarchal speech in the middle, but it just did it with such style and fun and cheerfulness that it's difficult to argue with.
So is that a should win and will win?
So let's say that Barbie's will win, and I mean, I would love to see American Fiction. You know, I just think, again, Cord Jefferson just did it. I've not read that original novel, so I don't know, you know, what the jump was, but mm-hmm. I just thought it was delightful what he did with
All right, Jed, how about you? Should win, will win, adapted screenplay.
I'd agree with both of those and throw in that I think Oppenheimer is also a very skillful adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, incredible.
Of a very difficult
incredible.
Very difficult.
Do you know,
subject,
I noticed online, I was looking at that screenplay online, he wrote it in the first person. Nolan wrote it from Oppenheimer's point of view. Yeah, so all the stage directions are, she looks at me.
Wow.
Or I go to stage left. You know, it's so interesting. It's like, oh.
That is interesting. Yeah. So original screenplay, Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Maestro, May, December, and Past Lives, another really great thing. I thought Past Lives was a terrific movie. I thought the music was great in that movie. I thought everything about that movie was terrific. The acting, the premise, the whole thing. I cried my eyes out through most of it.
Yes.
It was terrific.
Yeah,
you know?
Agreed. I know. She just, it was exquisite.
So I would love to see that win, but I have very little sway at the Oscars. Very little.
Well, that makes three of us.
I can't make this point strongly. Almost
so those
no
aren't
one,
your billboards on Sunset
Almost
Strip.
No one listens to my opinion about the Oscars. So, Jed, what do you think?
I would say that's the should win. I would take that. I think Anatomy of a Fall is also sort of an amazing story. It's a very, in a way, a very simple story in which a young boy and a dog play a key part. There's a whole litigation thing that was French litigation, so it had nothing to do with anything I'd ever seen before in my life. It was totally fascinating and well delivered. So I would say shout out to that, too.
All right, Anne, do you agree?
Yes. I mean, I think this is a strong category. I could see Holdovers winning. Because it's just such a classical film, and it's such a throwback to another time of that kind of filmmaking and storytelling, and I think that would be terrific. But I will go with Past Lives as my wanna win because I'm with you. I just think it's a lovely, well shaped thing.
Yeah. I'm glad, and then I'll keep my fingers crossed on that one. So now, because this is an NPR affiliate, we have to talk about the documentary category.
Yes, of course.
Because documentary is a very, very important cinematic art form. Not to make fun of documentarians, but people talk about this movie, 20 Days in Mariupol, about the Ukrainian war against Russia, as a really powerful movie. I've not seen any of the documentaries that are up for this year. But, you know, just like you say, there are... you know, sort of assumptions about, you know, people who are clearly the leaders. I mean, is that one the leader in the documentary category, do you think?
It's classic Oscar winner material. And given our politics right now, I hope everybody on the Republican side in the House has to see it, because I think you know, how do you not fund this unbelievable bravery that we're seeing in Ukraine in our behalf, by the way? I have not seen it. I'm also fascinated because our son-in-law is Ugandan, with Bobby Wine, who is a major figure in Uganda and ran for president. And I've heard wonderful things about the movie. So that would be the next one.
Keep it on. By the way, NPR will cover President Biden's State of the Union address, which is this evening at 9 o'clock. So Anne Hornaday, film critic for The Washington Post, your terrific book is called Talking Pictures, How to Watch Movies. If you haven't bought 10 copies, you should ask yourself why. Thank you so much. Always good to see you.
Thank you, Tom.
Jed Dietz, the founding director of the Maryland Film Festival. Great to see you.
Always fun being here. Thanks, Tom.
All right. And coming up, theater critic J. Wynn Russick joins me with a review of Forbidden Broadway's Greatest Hits. It's at the Dundalk Community Theater. We will chat amiably about that on the other side of a quick break. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is Baltimore's NPR News Station, 88.1 WYPR.